Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Hour number three is now underway. Text line 251-343-0106. And someone used the voice text talking about the number of Doug for Alabama signs in Fairhope's Fruit Nut District. But I mean, that's kind of to be expected. There are a lot of Doug Jones signs, but once you get beyond that, there's not a whole lot. There's a few, I've noticed a few Tuberville signs popping up around here, maybe in response to all of these signs in my, my neighborhood. But, that was from a voice text, I guess, or recorded text. So use the FM Talk 106.5 app and you'll see that function available. A named texter: hey Jeff, as crazy as the world is now, why wouldn't we want cameras? It's just having that, giving the government that much power. I don't think you need to make a constitutional argument here. I think you need to make a, hey, we voted for you and we didn't vote for this argument. This is not what I want in my community. Because that's a more sound argument, because the constitutional argument, like I said, it's fraught with all kinds of, well, what ifs. When you talk about warrantless surveillance. Because the expectation of privacy. You can argue it on those grounds, it'll get beat. And you can believe it for that reason. But if you want to defeat in your community flock cameras going up everywhere, license plate readers, whatever you want to call them, you make the argument on the grounds that, hey, these are my tax dollars. I don't want you using this. From Surfer: how is flock different? Flock camera any different from the increased cops on the street? Results in more surveillance, just that the cameras are cheaper, right? But I think it's the expectation of at least kind of going through the motions. You're right. In theory, they are the same. Police cars sitting there with the radar gun and a camera watching license plates go by, how is that any different? So just like on these theoretical grounds that it's unconstitutional, I you know, that's sort of a hollow argument. We don't want mass surveillance of our communities because we don't think the government's doing a good enough job as it is. Why should we entrust you with more power? Because it is power you are holding over the people. You're using technology to essentially monitor the track people. Well, we don't think you should be doing that. That's the argument to make. Fire Dog: maybe some sports ball should be a good game between the Dodgers and Braves on Tuesday night. I don't know if it's going to be good or not. Took two or three from them over there at Dodger Stadium, Fire Dog, but the bats are napping right now. I could do a whole show on the Braves and my frustrations with the front office. That's a real problem. King of all unnamed textures: with all the collateral crimes the flock camera catches on its way to catch a murder or whatever, we're going to need to need bigger and more prisons. Mike: do you think there would have been a chance that Israel, the MAGA Zionists, would have been able to drag the Trump administration to another war for Netanyahu if Kirk hadn't have been murdered? Kind of knowing a little bit about where Charlie Kirk was on this. And, you know, like I said, I didn't know him real well. I know that this was something that he struggled with TPUSA. because it really did divide the movement. That was his gripe with it, that you needed a unified movement to do some positive things. But when you start firing up the war machine, what happens is you're dividing your own party because people are divided on this issue. And that was his gripe kind of right before he was killed. Hey, Jeff, do you like to plan to six-lane to Bayway? I think that will cause big wrecks. 20-plus vehicles with lots of death. It's a big mistake. They're going to have to lower the speed limit. It's hard enough to get on the Bayway to get to a wreck as it is and move it out of the way. I know that they got the space. I've been hearing that for years to restripe it. But will you have much of a shoulder there in an emergency circumstance? Ultra Runner, Lethe Text here. Speaking of DEI, any thoughts on Jason Arday tragedy? It's an unbelievable story. It seems to highlight the depth of DEI corruption at the highest levels of education. It seems to even have parallels with the Bubba Copeland story, including the tragic ending, the woke mobbing of those who shined a light on it. Nathan Kafunas, one of the many who pointed out Arday's plagiarism, has been suspended from the university by a woman who used to be a man who was a gynecologist. Can he pack more wokeness into it? I'm aware of the Jason Arday discussion, but I have not really looked into it very closely. I'm sure we will in the coming days. Sorry to go Darlene Graham on you there. One more here. Butter Knight, the next step after flock cameras will be public, being monitored with the cameras and sending speeding tickets to anyone speeding. Remember when Pritchard had a contract with a private company to pull over vehicles on Highway 165 for speeding? It definitely increased revenue for Pritchard. I do think that that is next. They already tried that, Butter Knife, in construction zones. And I am telling you, one of the arguments for it was this. They talked about how much revenue they could have raised. So someone's speeding along, the camera catches it, gets their license plate, and they could have sent a ticket in the mail. That was a real thing. And it was done under the guise of, well, we just don't have enough troopers to police every construction zone. And think of all the lives we could save. I think it's very dangerous to start going down that path. That's what blue states do. However, I mean, I've been on the road since the 90s, and I've just here noticed it. I mean, people do play fast and loose with traffic laws. It does seem like more than they ever have. Running red lights. I was T-boned by a woman who ran a red light in Fairhope about a year and a half ago and had to get a new vehicle. That just people are distracted more than ever, I guess. But some people I see it all the time. They just run stop signs like it's not there. Will this be a deterrent? It's like there's a problem here that needs to be addressed, and this is the solution. But we don't necessarily have to go along with the solution, but you can see where it's coming from. But I do think that there is a perverse financial incentive to support this kind of technology and come to your community. And like I said, I don't think the argument's a constitutional one. I think that's already been adjudicated. They already have these cameras in other places. They've already had their fight over the Fourth Amendment. They've already done all of this. Where you need to be more strident is at the ballot box or at your local town council or commission meeting or whatever. And this from Chad, I saw this. Roy Drinker should be passing. Should be shocking, but it's strange that today finally come to the incredible and long life. Actually met him a few times up in Coleman. But Roy Drinker passed away. Very active in Alabama politics. I know he's well over 100. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Got to reset the news here. We spent a lot of time on the flock cameras and the constitutionality of it. Additionally, we should have an election cycle really heat up here, but it's a general election cycle. What we're really watching for is, Roy Drinker was 106. But anyway, what we should be watching for is probably what's going on in other states. South Carolina's got a runoff coming up here soon. Donald Trump did a rally for her, Darlene Graham, in Myrtle Beach over the weekend. That's going to be interesting. What else we got? They said, the quagmire known as Iran doesn't look like much is going to change there. Did see that Jared Kushner had a meeting with Hakeem Jeffries. Not sure what about. I don't think Hakeem Jeffries is going to be speaker. Even if Democrats take the House, and they can, they're poised to. He got on the bad side of a lot of these Democrat socialist candidates. He supported their opponents. So, if this guy was actively working against me, raising money to defeat me in a primary, why would I vote for him to be speaker? And Democrats are going to need every vote because, unlike majority leader, you got to win the entire chamber. And there's not going to be a single Republican who will vote for Hakeem Jeffries. This is going to be Kevin McCarthy all over again, except it's the Democrats' turn to go through it. I don't think that they have a really good sense of how that's going to play out either. Butter knife, if they need to enforce traffic laws and hire more cops, that will increase revenue for additional officers. It's hard to find the qualified officers. I mean, I think that a lot of the places are trying to hire more police officers. And it's like, do you want to work here in this city with its crime problems? Do you want to work in a place where they don't respect the police? Is that what you want to do, or would you go somewhere else? I mean, it sounds simple in theory, but there's just not like a police officer tree that you could go pick and put on the workforce. It's just finding them who are qualified, who meet the standard. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. I'm getting hammered, sitting right here at the floor of Bama.
I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text lines 251-343-0106. Caroline Dobson coming up in just a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. Another programming note here. Coming up on tomorrow's broadcast, State Representative Mark Shirey will make time for us. Set that up. Also, his colleague, Danny Garrett, who's also chairman of the ETF, he'll make time for us. And then we'll close it out tomorrow with P2 Public Affairs, Will Hampson. And should have a discussion about kind of Tuesday elections. There's a handful of elections tomorrow, and we'll see what they mean. I guess what I'm interested in, just right now, local politics are what they are. But, well, what is the trend? More Republicans or more Democrats voting in their primaries? Scroverine. Well, gosh, police in Fair Oaks can't stand up for family values without getting entangled in drama. With the penis costume wearers. Scroverine also writes, remember when Kamala Harris dropped out in 2020? Suddenly, avocado-toasted Chardonnay liberals went to Twitter to express their sorrow and claim racism behind her lack of support, even though their fluffernutting selves did not support her. She is a bad candidate. I don't think it has anything to do with her gender or sex or race. I think she was just a bad candidate. She didn't work. She gets the Democrat nomination, didn't do a sit-down interview with anybody in the media, including very friendly Democrat media, for like a month. And then it was like a joint interview with her weirdo running mate, Tim Walz. Her presidential campaign in 20, it fizzled out. She just did not get on. She didn't like having to spend time in Iowa and get on the campaign trail. Just wasn't what she wanted to do. I don't know what else she was doing, but that was the problem. Be dark. Jeff, I think I would rather deal with Cameron than have to contact with untrained or dirty officers. Always take it up with a judge. But you still take it up with a judge if a speeding camera, flock camera, writes you a ticket. You're still entitled to a court hearing. Mike, that's the one thing Fire Dog and I could agree on is more sports ball talk, especially with the retardedness of DC and Goat Hill. Friday Night Lights and Gator Saturday sounds like a great fall. Also, it was fun watching McToolin hang with 52 on Foley, especially after the government schools pitched their fit and segregated government from private kids. Yeah, but it's those kind of blowout. They're just going to continue the discussion. We're on the verge of having a high school athletic system with private schools and public schools separated. I think. I think it's a real possibility. And the better athletes will go to some private school. It's going to look like Florida, or it's going to look like Georgia, Tennessee. You're going to have like IMG academies springing up everywhere. Sean says Mitch McConnell is dead. Has that been verified? Or is that just, well, I see where you're coming from there. Name Texture writes, hey, Jeff, I'm not from Bama, but who would want to live in Pritchard? I don't know. They got a lot of problems in Pritchard. It's public safety, corruption, general inability to upkeep infrastructure, no tax base. They need something to shore up the tax base. And I think that solves a lot of problems. People move away. They walk away. They just don't want to live in a place like that, fear their lives. A lot of reaction to the Roy Drinkard passing. Alabama's lost a true American hero. Roy Drinkard, the nation's oldest living U.S. Marine, was a dear friend and proud patriot. This is from Governor Ivey. The words of the Marines hymn. Oh, I can get to more of that. But there's more condolences being put out on social media. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I keep on rolling with the flow. Folks said that I... He asked me how about it.
I told him on credit that he just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said some things just glitter and shine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Monday morning. Once again, text line, you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Joining us now, as previously advertised, our Secretary of State nominee on the Republican side, but Caroline Dobson is making time for us. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks. How about you?
Doing well. Doing well. You know, it's that stage of the campaign. It's, you know, at this stage, I guess this is probably more competitive in some ways than the primary was. But talk a little bit about the campaign and how that's going.
Yes. No, I'm still on the road. Just trying to get out our message about building elections that we can trust and an economy that we can really build a good foundation on. Actually, here in Baldwin County today, I'm at the probate judges conference. So getting to visit with probate judges from all over the state about how we can work together again to make sure that we have elections that the people of Alabama can trust, secure elections with the new election audit legislation that was passed by the Alabama legislature. That's been a topic of conversation, but also on the business side, you know, how can we make sure that the business needs of small businesses throughout the state are met, that we have the transparency, but also that we're protecting property owners. Another piece of legislation that was passed this past legislative session is the Property Protection Act to try to cut down on real estate fraud that is taking place, seller impersonation that has taken place states, in Alabama included.
You hear about that happening in Baldwin County, where somebody, I guess, posing as the deed holder, they make a transaction, and then the property owner somehow or another is just out of luck, and you know, that there's got to be some protections in place to keep that from happening.
Yes, and again, I'm grateful that our legislature acted on that this past session. And now comes to the implementation. So, you know, whether it's election legislation or some of this legislation that's designed to help protect against real estate fraud, our probate judges and their offices kind of are on the front lines of, okay, how do we actually implement that? How do we put that in practice? And so it's been really helpful to kind of learn and be on the ground level in some of those discussions here this week. So yes, I'm continuing to campaign and try to make sure that not only, you know, I'm asking for the votes of people throughout the state, but that people are remembering to get out and vote and recognize how pivotal this election is, even though we don't have a presidential election at the top of the ballot. It's incredibly important. We've got some Republican state legislators that are in districts that had more Democrats turn up than Republicans in the primary. And then, of course, we've got the redistricting, congressional district 2. It now leans slightly Republican, but it's not a given, you know. And so we definitely need to make sure that folks get out in congressional district 2, congressional district 7. It is less Democrat leaning than it once was. And you've got a really strong Republican nominee in Annie Aiken. Again, I'm continuing to campaign, but not just for my behalf, for Republicans throughout the state. And also, again, trying to learn as much as I can and help be part of the discussion in implementing some of these new laws that are designed to help protect Alabama businesses, protect Alabama voters.
You know, you ran last cycle in that second congressional district against Shamari Figures. He's on the ballot. He's the incumbent. I think you're right. It's still a Republican district, but it's not a given, especially if you take into account where the you know, how many Democrats showed up on May 19th to vote relative to Republicans. I think that is actually going to take some work, because a guy like Shamari Figures, is by virtue of being the incumbent congressman, is going to raise a bunch of money
Right.
So you know exactly. something about this district? And it was supposed to be a quote unquote opportunity district, but it was like a 9-point swing. And I think Rep Marcus has got his work cut out for him here.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And I had the advantage of the fact that there was no incumbent in that district. Neither party had ever quote unquote campaigned in that district as it was drawn. While it leaned Democrat and Shamari had the funding sources that Democrats have, he was not the incumbent. Additionally, Rhett Marcus, you know, this district in its reconfigured shape, Rhett has only really been able to campaign in that district since midsummer, with certainty. That's what it would be in November. So he hasn't had as much lead time. That being said, I am so proud to endorse him and helping him every way I can. It's important that we just have a good Republican turnout. And that means getting, you know, all these strong red counties like Washington County, even though there aren't a ton of voters there. I think it's, upwards of 70 or 80% Republican now. Crenshaw County, Pike County, of course, over Houston County. And then making sure that, I live in Montgomery County. We have a lot of low propensity Republican voters, making sure that they understand how important it is that they get out, vote, flip this seat. It's important not just only to South Alabama, but to the entire country when you look at control of the U.S. House. And so
right.
I'm doing everything I can to make sure that that Rhett comes away with a victory on November 3rd. And then also, I think there's a huge opportunity for Amy Aiken in Congressional District 7. There are a lot of disenchanted Democrats in Congressional District 7. You've got some really third world conditions when it comes to that part of Alabama. I mean, lack of access to clean water, to sewage. My mom worked in Wilcox County for 30 years as a physical therapist who did home health care. So I know, and rode around with her a lot. So I know, firsthand that there are some people lacking some basic resources in that district. And I think there's a real opportunity for Amy to prevail and send Terry Sewell home, which would be fantastic to have all of Alabama's congressional delegation representing Alabama values in Washington, D.C.
Joined by Caroline Dobson here on the program. She is the Republican nominee for Secretary of State on November 3rd. You said you're meeting with probate judges and you're down here in Baldwin County meeting with ours. Talk a little bit about that. You hear from these guys and they have their, over the years, just talking to them, they have their different concerns about how the state administers elections and what they need. And I think a lot of it just boils down to the cost of administering a lot of these elections, finding poll workers, that kind of thing. What are you hearing as you make your way around Alabama?
Well, I think, consistency and transparency is key. I think this audit procedure that we will have after the elections in November is going to be key to making sure that Alabamians actually trust their elections and want to participate, whether it's, just voting or being an election day volunteer or running for office. I think that's incredibly important that there's consistency there. And I think, again, with respect to the Office of Secretary of State, there's a lot more that we can do when it comes to transparency. I'm grateful to President Trump and all the emphasis on efficiency, transparency, making government work for the people of this country. And I'm a Secretary of State who wants to make government work for the people of this state. I want to partner more with other agencies. An example that was brought up to me the other day, and I think I've discussed on this show too, to dissolve a business in Alabama with the Secretary of State, you have to pay $100 and file a form to dissolve your business. Well, I mean, how many people actually take that step? However, if you do have a business in this state and you're paying taxes and you dissolve your business or your business goes defunct, I can guarantee you that you surrender your tax ID, right? Because you don't want, if your business has gone belly up, you don't want to continue to be paying taxes for a business that you're no longer operating. Working Secretary of State's office, working with the Department of Revenue, Department of Revenue, I want to work with them. I want them to send us a list of Alabama for-profit companies and corporations that have surrendered their tax ID so that we then can reach out to them and say, look, have you surrendered your tax ID? Do you want to dissolve your business? Eliminate that fee for dissolution, and then also be proactive in having records of businesses that have dissolved. You know, that's just one example of many. Of course, when you get to the election integrity side and our voter rolls, there are so many more opportunities for interagency communication to cross-reference our voter registration list with other state agencies to make sure that we have a more accurate list of folks who are actually entitled to vote here in Alabama. And I'm very grateful, again, that President Trump has raised the alarm on this, you know, recently announcing that there are 24,000 non-citizens on America's voter rolls. And that's not even an audit of the entire United States voter rolls. So there's a lot of work that can be done, but there's so much that can be done just by communicating with other agencies within Alabama state government. And I'm excited to do that.
Well, and you mentioned something. Let's get back to the dissolving a corporation or your business. Like, do we have these ghost companies kind of operating within the state? Maybe they went bankrupt, but they never did file the paperwork with the Secretary of State's office, and they're just kind of on the books. I mean, like, I got to imagine, what is there a statutory requirement to do so? Why is this so important?
This is, I mean, it cannot be emphasized, especially for companies that are getting off the ground, how important it is that when you look at the Secretary of State's office, you're looking to do business with another company that you know that it exists, it's in good standing. And additionally, too, if you're looking to start a business and I want to operate as, you know, whatever name. Oh, well, there's already an LLC that's registered with Alabama Secretary of State's office, but they haven't filed a public information report in 15 years. Are they in existence? Is this going to be, am I going to be infringing on, their name, their brand, their copyright if I register my business under this name that I've been trying to use? So, when it comes to being able to get business done, it's so important that we provide Alabama small business owners with the information that they need in an accessible and affordable way so that they can easily, when you're entering into a transaction, you can easily verify that the other party to the transaction is legitimate. Or again, when you're starting a company or corporation, that you know whether, kind of what's out there. And if there is, already a valid company that's operating under a similar name, or if that was an enterprise that failed 15 years ago, but never filed the paperwork and paid the fee to actually remove their presence from the Secretary of State's records. We owe that to the people of Alabama to have accurate, up to the minute records and same day services too. Because, especially in this age of technology, transactions are happening at lightning speed, and we need to be able to deliver for the small business owners in the state.
One more question, the way we do things in Alabama with the public notices, and I think the system is antiquated. And look, I'm in print journalism. I get it that a lot of times you got to put these things somewhere where the public can view them. But it just seems like there should be a better way, especially a way that doesn't come with the price tag that the current system does.
Oh, absolutely. No, and again, I think we're seeing that certainly at the federal level with President Trump and his efforts to make, I think the quote was, a more Apple Store-like experience for the average American that's trying to navigate a federal government website. You think about it, and the Alabama Secretary of State's website is probably one of the most frequently visited state government websites, and we need to make it where, you can get that information quickly, you can get that information as affordably as possible, you can have trust that that's an accurate reflection of the current active businesses in this state that are in good standing. I think that is that is the bare minimum, and of course I would love to also help make sure that small business owners, especially in rural areas, have the access that they need to grow their business and to connect with resources that are available to them as well. And nonprofits also, you know, I think that's what we don't think about enough. As a conservative who believes in limited government, who believes that private individuals and private organizations are often the better solution to problems, we also need to be making it easier for our nonprofits to get off the ground, to form, to navigate licensing processes, and be able to serve the needs of people in their communities.
Carolee, we're about out of time. Before I let you go, if folks want to find out more about you, your campaign, or anything of that magnitude, how can they do so?
Yes, please check us out, DobsonForAlabama.com, or also on social media, DobsonForAL. And I will be at the Mobile County Republican Executive Committee meeting on October 5th. I know I'll be back down in your listening area long before then on many occasions, but I know for sure I will be speaking on October 5th at MECREC, so looking forward to that.
Y'all check that out. Carolee, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Carolee Dobson, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Hand in my hat. Excuse me, man, but where's the door? From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, roll tide, roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me.
Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. Mike writes, Pritchard's problem is the same thing as it's been for the past five decades. It's the people. And every time they move somewhere else, they just spread the problems to different communities. What a, doesn't sound like a very scientific study there, Mike. B-Dark, dirty ass police and Pritchard like living there. So, oh, dope dealer and dope heads. Thank you for that contribution. Anyway, enough of that. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we'll hear from State Representative Mark Shirey. We'll be making time for the program. Also, Danny Garrett, his colleague in Alabama legislature from Trustville, but he's also chairman of the Education Trust Fund. He'll be with us. And then Will Hampson, our Tuesday regular for P2 Public Affairs. We'll talk some national politics, some election trends with him. But coming up here in just a moment, Midday Mobile. Shaw, what you got?
I don't know if I can beat those contributions from the text line, but coming up in a couple of minutes, Todd Stacy joins me. We'll talk about a few big stories in the state of Alabama and some that have national implications. Of course, President this weekend saying, you know, or last end of last week, hey, let's bring in that Argentinian beef. So we'll talk about that and a lot more jobs report out for the state of Alabama. Get into that also in the second half of this upcoming hour. Going to be talking with it's a conversation that I picked up from a place called 1819news.com.
Whoever heard of that?
Yeah, and looking through there, and a guy I like to have on the show. I mean, he and I disagree on some things, agree on a lot of things. State Senator Arthur Orr joins me talking flock cameras and what he was saying back in 2021. Y'all can read that story at 1819 News. We'll talk to him about that also in hour number two. Jason Kadulis and Cody Alloy from Mobile NEP, and he's bringing the dog. This is the dog that, how can I say it, can smell the stuff in the water, like stuff, right? You know, like sewage stuff. Instead of spending tons and tons of money to have water samples done and try to figure out and trace back to source pollution, dog goes, oh, you know, because you got dogs. Hey, there's some, and it's coming from over there. So pretty cool dog. So we're going to do that. And then closing out the show today, Fenn Church, a name that a lot of people have heard of.
Oh,
and
boy.
His fight. Yeah. His fight against Alabama Power and the easement. Fenn and I talked a good bit, and he's going to join me on the show today at 1:30. So all that coming up on Midday Mobile.
Hey, tell me something. The cattle farmers are fired up at the Trump administration, very publicly.
Very much so.
What do you make of that?
I think they're spot on. They're spot on. I mean, I run cattle, but it's not how I feed myself.
But
I mean,
you understand. You understand it.
Well, I understand what he's doing, or I understand the... I'm with
them. The economics of it. Yeah, you understand.
Okay, here's just a question. And this one that I wish was posed out there. So they say, okay, well, the cattle population's down. U.S. cattle population's down, and we can talk about the screw worm and all that. But to help motivate us to have more cattle on American ranches, we're going to lower the price of beef? What kind of economics is that? So we want y'all to rebuild the herd, but you're not gonna get the money for it. I mean, it's just dumb.
I think there's like a middleman problem here.
Always has been, man. Always has been.
Because that's where the problem lies. If you talk to these ag experts that like the prices are low in wholesale, but when you get to retail, they're way, way high.
Packing
so somewhere
houses.
In between.
It's packing houses. But you're going to incentivize people to rebuild herds because they're going to get less money for them? What? It's dumb. It's dumb.
Yeah. But you got to tackle the packing houses problem, right?
Yep. But somehow that's not where he's going with it. So
yeah, I hear you. Hey, it's time for me to get out of here. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.